Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, right now we have a treat for you guys. I'm so glad that you're here tonight because we have three of our powerhouse ladies that are gonna come up one after the other. It's like fire, fire, fire. And I'm going to introduce them all real quick, and then we're just going to unleash them. And like Pastor Becky said, we are a church that believes that every healthy home has the voice of a father and a mother, and that everybody on this stage, including myself, is under the authority of Pastor Jurgen. And so we've asked these ladies to speak tonight because they have a touch of God on them. So the first leadoff hitter is going to be Pastor Tessa Fuller. She's our 10 a.m. service pastor with her handsome husband, Charles, who's one of our Emerge leaders. And Tessa is just glitter walking around. She's just like so much fun, such a great personality, so lovely. Everybody that meets Tessa absolutely adores her. And we absolutely adore you. And she can hear from heaven. And so I know she's got a great word for us tonight. We love you, Tessa. You're going to be amazing. And then we have Pastor Leandra Foster. One of our kids' church pastors here at Central. Well known for Beast Mode Mamas. And she is just a powerhouse. Her and her husband, Tom, are pastors here at C3. He leads our military and a whole bunch of other stuff. And she takes care of all of our kids. And she is an extraordinary leader. She has people always around her, pouring into them and spending time with them. And that's just in addition to her role here, which is with our kids. And she does a phenomenal job there. I think we have the best kids church in all the world. And so Leandra's going to be amazing. I'm excited to hear what you have to say. And then we have another kids church representative in Bree Robinson. This girl is fire, so watch out. And she did our internship program just a few years ago, and I just love Bree. She's got such a touch of God on her, and I so appreciate all your hard work and time you spend with our kids in there as well. And so I just can't wait to hear what you have to say or what God has to say through you. It's going to be amazing. Why don't you stand to your feet and get ready to drink from a fire hose. Come on, I want to introduce to you, first and foremost, Pastor Tessa Fuller.
Oh my gosh, I love you guys. I think there's still some cherished excitement in the air. Woo! I love it. How much do you love our church? I love our church. It's so special. We have the best pastors in the world. We have the best campus pastors in the world. The best, the best. Okay, you can take a seat. Thank you, thank you. I'm so excited. Get to go first and warm you all up for what is coming. All right, I have a quick question for you. How many of you love camping? Raise your hands. Oh, wow, there's a lot of you that really like camping. Okay, this doesn't camp. Okay, this doesn't count. No, I don't understand how you leave like your perfectly good house that has everything in it and go outside and sleep sometimes on the ground like a homeless person. I don't understand. So I go like once a year because I'm married to Charles and he throws out like the Father's Day card and he's like, we have to go. We have to go camping. So I go because I have friends that are like, oh, it's the most amazing memories with your kids, blah, blah, blah. So I go. But I tell him all the time, no matter how much I try, I'm not really gonna like this, no matter how much I try. So I'm being silly with the whole camping thing, but I do really want, I mean it, I hate to camp, but I'm just using that silly example because I'm trying to talk to you about how no matter how much we sometimes try to do something in our own strength, it doesn't happen. See, some of you might be like me and have this skewed view of strength. It's like, I used to be like, if I just try hard enough, I can do something, right? If I look pretty enough, he'll love me. If I do the right things and say the right things, maybe they will accept me. Maybe they will like me. See, I used to think that being strong meant like being overbearing or maybe being like the loudest one, the bossiest one, which I've been known to be before, maybe the most opinionated one. But I have come to learn that being strong sometimes means more about when you learn not to say something than when you need to say something. Having the strength to know when to say something and when not. See, real strength is when you see your husband's flaws, not that mine has any, and you choose to focus on his strengths. See, real strength is when all of your friends are doing something and you think, oh, I should not be doing this. And you just say, no thanks, that's not for me. You don't have to be weird or religious about it. Just make a decision to say no. Your life will speak for itself. And then go join a connect group and get some better friends, okay? Real strength is when you're out with your girlfriends and all of a sudden the conversation turns to like, oh, my husband did this, and you're tempted to join in. Do you choose to join in? Or do you turn the conversation around and talk about something more constructive? Like getting them all to cherish next year. Strength is being able to take correction, even when it hurts a little bit. Strength is when I see a man call my husband to ask for advice, and he sits down and he gets real and really talks about what's going on in his life. Sometimes it takes a lot of strength to get real. So what does strength look like when your financial world is crashing down? When you need healing, when you have a promise that God told you was coming and it's not coming yet, when you're going through something and you're thinking, I don't know if I have the strength to do this. You know what? Sometimes I think that's right when God goes, okay, now you're exactly where I want you. Now I can come in and I can do something. Because 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my strength is perfect in your weakness. True strength is when you're believing for God's promises, even when you don't see anything, right? I have the cutest 2-year-old nephew, and we have been praying and believing for his complete and total healing since before he was born. And before he was born, when I would pray for him, God, every single time, always gave me this clear vision of this beautiful little blonde baby boy running around, just running. And sure enough, he's born. And he's blonde and he's adorable, just like in those visions. But he is not yet walking. My brother and sister-in-law just got back from another trip to St. Louis where they had to put their sweet little boy through surgery. And he's not walking yet. But he will be walking in Jesus' name. And you better believe that when we feel like we don't have the strength because we didn't see the miracle that maybe we thought we were going to see already, we can rely on God's strength and not ours. See, Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people. You may not feel like you have enough strength, but he does. So we've all just come out of Cherish, you may have heard. And we talked a lot about, like, she's clothed with strength and honor. You know, and Pastor John did such a beautiful message this morning about being well-dressed. Wait, dressed to impress, which who doesn't like to be dressed to impress? He talked about getting up and putting the Holy Spirit on. Well, that is what the Bible says. It says we are clothed in strength and honor. So that means every day when you get up, just like your clothes, you have a choice whether you want to put on some of that strength. Put on some of that strength and honor. It says... Oh, I always think of beautiful Yvette's voice in my head now. She's clothed with strength and honor and rejoice. She will rejoice in time to come. So that means if you choose every day to get up and put that strength and put that honor on and choose to believe, then that means rejoice is coming. Who doesn't want some more joy in their life? I want more joy. I want to do all the things that God has for me. I want to do all the things. So in closing, If there is something that you are believing for or that you don't need strength for, you know what? I was going to have you stand up, but I want everybody to stand up. Let's all stand up. Because one of the things that we know, because we hear all the time, is if you want something to shift in your life, it's when you take God's words, you put them in your mouth, and you start speaking them over your world. So I want you to think about some of the things that you need strength in right now, some of those things you've been believing for and praying for that you have not yet seen. I'm going to have you repeat after me. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, repeat after me. God, I trust you. Despite what I see, you are the source of my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will not be shaken. With God, all things are possible. God is with me. I will not fail. Amen. You will not fail. If you choose to put your trust in God instead of in your own things, you will see a miracles coming out of your life. I declare every single one of you will see God's strength in everything you are believing for.
Sit down. All right, so thank you guys for giving me the opportunity I never wanted. So thank you for putting me up here. I'd like to say, call out my shout out to my husband, Captain America. Stand up. Ladies, he is my Boaz, okay? So shout out to my crazy kids in Kids Church. And okay, so my name is Leandra, and here at C3, I wear many hats. I am Kid Church Director, I'm a service leader, I'm a pastor. Oh my gosh, how'd that happen? What else do I do? I'm Connect Group Leader. I do a lot of things. So about 5 years ago when I came here to C3, I was nothing, okay? I was nothing. None of those things, nothing. I was pregnant, and that was my deal back then. So I came from a church where I was on the worship team, and I was in the choir, and so I felt good about that because I know. So it was my natural talent. I could sing. It was great. I was doing it within my own power, though, and how many know God wants to take you somewhere else where it's his power and not your power? So to step into what God had for me, I had to do some things. I had to stop disqualifying myself. Stop saying, no, I can't. Stop saying, God, no, this is not for me. And I had to get healed from my stinking thinking. I had to get over myself because it's not about me. I had to submit to God, obey him, and say, okay, do what you want me to do. It's about you, and I'm going to submit. So my message, my 10-minute message, is how my I can't turned into I will. So I got four steps. Four steps I had to take. Actually, it's three steps and a little bonus at the end. So my first step was getting delivered. I had to be set free from my past. So my first I can't was I can't because of my past. And the verse here is John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We just sang it. So it was at a freedom conference. We were just here a few months, and it was right here, and Mike Connell was speaking at this Freedom Conference, and it was blowing my mind about how your past and your sins, and they carry through to the future, and you need to be delivered of those. And I was like, oh, and just like the woman in the Bible, my sins are many, and we're not going to get into those here. But so the whole thing, I was holding out. I was like, no, not going to do it. I'm not going up front. You know those altar calls where you're just like, no, I'm not going up there. I'm fine. I got this. And it was like the last session, and Tom's like, babe, you got to go up there. So I was like, I know I got to go up there. So I went up there, and it was awful. It was so awful, but I came up here. It was right up there, and it was Pastor Alicia Williams. And she is, if you know her, she's short, she's powerhouse, but she's great. And so she prayed with me, and I prayed with her, and wouldn't you know, I got set free. It was so great. It was so great. Past mistakes, bad decisions, bad things I did, all the guilt, shame, condemnation that was just pouring down on me from the enemy, I got free of it. And it was amazing. And, you know, freedom is not like one time. You have to kind of revisit it. So you know how the enemy tries to throw it back in your face? Well, whenever he tries to do that, I just I stand on Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And I use Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so has he moved our transgressions from us. They're gone. They're gone. So yeah. Point two, learning to be unoffendable. And this is, I can't because people are mean and they hurt me. So Hebrews 12:15 is, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out so that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So like me, if you grew up on earth, someone has offended you. Friends, family, significant others, bosses, even leaders in a church could offend you? I don't know. Okay, so I had several hurtful experiences in my younger years, and I brought them into my adulthood. And so coming here, I was ready. I was like, okay, what you got? What you got, C3? And wouldn't you know it, this happened to me. So I talked to this person. She is a leader and a pastor at C3, and she's not at this campus, so don't worry. She's up north. And no. I talked to her about this. She said I could talk about this. She's okay with it. We've come together. So I met her and I made a connection. We talked. Oh, we're gonna be great friends. And then the very next Sunday, I looked at her, I saw her, I made eye contact with her and smiled, and she walked right past me and didn't say anything. Ooh, I was so offended. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's shunning me. And I pulled my offense around me like a nice cozy blanket. And so the next Sunday, a couple Sundays later, guess what? Another person offended me and did the exact same thing. I made eye contact, I smiled, and she walked right past me. And so I was like, okay, what's wrong? The Holy Spirit's like, you have a problem. It's you. It's not them. So I had to critically think about what's going on here. It's ugly when you're walking around in offense. You're the walking wounded, and God can't use you, and He can't do anything with you if you're constantly looking for who's going to offend me next. So I had to let it go. It would have crippled me spiritually. It would disqualify me for real. And so I had to start forgiving that person and walking forward in non-offense, basically. And like my husband said, I have to start looking at everyone assuming they're coming from a good place. They're not coming to offend me. And wouldn't you know it, now I'm in kids' church, and guess what? I started doing that to people. I started ignoring them. And it's not because I'm trying to offend you. I have 50 bazillion things going on in my mind. And it's amazing my head's not exploding as I'm over there in kids' church every Sunday morning. So please, if I do not acknowledge you, I'm so sorry. It's not on purpose, but we are so busy. Anyway, that's a side note. All right, but anyway, I had to let God teach me to become a people person and to love people. And I had to live in that. So assume the best out of people. Next one, healed of a poor self-image by stopping comparison. The comparison game. This is my I can't because I'm not XYZ enough. And the verse here is Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I can't compare myself to everyone. The images on the TV screen, the images in the magazines, people I did know, people I didn't know. I measured myself up. I weighed myself against these people. And comparison is so terrible. We talked about so much at Cherish. It's so terrible because it paralyzes you, and it makes you think these words. You start speaking these words over yourself. I'm less than. I'm not good enough. She's prettier than me. His biceps are bigger than mine. She knows the Bible better than me. She's a better prayer than me. He's this, that. And these words are not from God. They're from the enemy. They're from the enemy. And so, Pastor Leanne, you spoke a message years ago about bowling balls. You had bowling balls on the stage. And one of the bowling balls was comparison, the bowling ball comparison. And she said, she made this example of, if you're carrying around comparison, you're struggling with this enormous weight. And you're carrying it around all the time. And it just, you know, light bulb, I got to put this weight down. I cannot do this. I cannot do this anymore. And I had to start telling me what God thought about me instead of what I thought about me. So here's some words that God speaks over you. Overcomer, powerful. You're an heir. You're a daughter. You're a son. You're a friend. You're a treasure. You are beloved. And when you get that in your soul, yes, you know who you truly are in Jesus. Yes. That's right. All right. Oh my gosh, we're time. So the last one is a bonus. And this one is God surrounded me with amazing leaders and great friends. And this was the I can't because no one has shown me how. So the verse here is Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. So, you know you have people who speak negatively in your life? Get rid of them. Because they will give you more I can'ts and fill your head with that. So you gotta move on from them. How many of us realize how amazing our pastors are? I mean, okay, Pastor John, you're awesome. Pastor Jorgen is great too. But Pastor Becky and Pastor Leanne, amazing shepherds, prophets, bringing the word of fire, leading people to Jesus. But guess what? Our pastors are something that a lot of pastors aren't, and that's transparent. So who can forget the story of Pastor Leanne breaking the fins off Pastor Jorgen's surfboard? I know how expensive those fins are, and Tom would have murdered me if I did that. Who can forget about Pastor Becky and her story about not letting Pastor John go to the Chargers game because of the cheerleaders? So they make me feel so much better about my crazy because they're crazy. They're crazy. So, they taught me something very important. It's okay to let your guard down. It's okay to be vulnerable and transparent with people because their breakthrough depends on it. It depends on you being real with people. And plus it shows I can be a better leader. I can be a better pastor. They're normal people. They're not this. They're like me. And so, also, bonus, 15 seconds. I can't forget to mention all the amazing friends that God's brought in my life. My harvest of friendship that you preached about years ago. I have my Beast Mode mamas. Where are you? I have my Connect Group ladies. They're all over here. We had 27 at Cherish. And my Kids Church family. I have amazing, amazing friendships. So this is what God has done for me because I brushed all this. I got it out of my life. All these I can'ts, I got out of my life. And I started saying I will. And I wanted to just give you a few declarations today that you can say. Tessa, you took my stand up and give declarations thing. So I'm not going to make you stand up. But here are some declarations I would love for you to say over your life. And you don't have to repeat after me. Number one, I am not defined by my past. I am set free from it. I will give people grace and not walk around offended. Big one. I am a beloved child of God, and I'm made in his image. And last one. I have great leaders that can show me how if I will let them. So, yes. So that's my deal. Yay, freedom. Woo!
Hey, hey, church. While we're cheering, can we just take a moment to honor Pastor Becky and Pastor John? You guys are incredible. You guys can be seated. We're going to jump straight into the Bible. As much as I think I'm really just a story person, maybe it's all the kids' church preaching, but I love stories. So we're going to jump straight to Luke 19, the story of my main man, Zacchaeus. All right. So if we got that up there. Perfect. All right. You guys ready? All right, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Hey, y'all. All right, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down and at once welcomed him gladly. Another translation says he rejoiced at the invitation. All right, so the next one. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give you half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. One more. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So I love stories, and I really believe that God gave me three things that I want to share with you tonight. And the first one is position. Position. Zacchaeus in verse 4 positioned himself. And what I want to take a quick note on is that he had a limitation. He was short, but still he found a way to position himself. So I don't know what limitation you have today that's keeping you from Jesus, but I promise you that you can position yourself to have an encounter with him today. And I really believe, you know, and I just want to give you kind of encouragement. If you're here tonight, you're in a good place. Your position is really awesome. Yeah? So if you're here tonight, you have good position. But I want to talk about one thing as well. The one that had ultimate position that really did it in for us, like gave us the best positioning we can have, was when God sent his one and only son to die on the cross for us so that we didn't have to have a permanent position of standing away from God, but to where we could have closeness with God. He paid the ultimate price for the position for us to be near Jesus, from one of separation to one of closeness with him. The second I want to talk to you about today is invitation. Invitation. Jesus is kind of a funny guy. He didn't even say like, hey, can I come to your house? He just like, take me to your house, you know? like he's like, just do it. Let's do it. And I love it. It's Zacchaeus received him joyfully. And he didn't say, oh, like, man, I got to go clean my house first. He didn't say, hey, like, I got to go clean up this room. I got to clean off the table. And I think sometimes so many of us, we can come and think that we have to get our lives together and we have to clean up our house before Jesus can come in. Can I tell you today that your house can be, there can be toys around the floor and it can be the way it is, but Jesus still wants to come into your house. He still wants to come into your house. He wants to be with you. And I love it because he picks Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is wealthy, y'all. It says he has some money. All right? Money. Yeah. All right, so he had money. I just imagine this moment, you guys. Maybe like, I don't know, this I'm just weird, but I had this moment where I felt like Zacchaeus was like, hey, what up, MTV Cribs? My name's Zacchaeus. Welcome to my home. Like Zacchaeus had a good house, y'all. He's like, all right, and we're just going to go over to this door, and here is my bowling alley, and in here is my flat screen TV. Like, he wanted Jesus to see every area of his home. When Jesus gives the invitation to us, he doesn't just want to be kept in the doorway or right. Like, he doesn't want us to enter in, and we're like, oh, actually, Jesus, sorry. You can actually only stay right here. He wants the grand tour of your house. He wants to see every room. When, if many of you guys don't know me, I know some of you do, but I'm a pastor's kid, so my parents are pastors. Hey, Mom, hey. My parents are pastors. So I accepted Jesus into my heart at a very young time, but I have to tell you the truth, that I never fully, even though I was serving and I was preaching and I was leading and I was singing, all these things, Jesus was still just at the very front door of my house. I never gave him full access. I never let him into every room of my life. I kept him at my door. And the truth is, my life didn't get transformed because I didn't give him full access. I love that Zacchaeus made Jesus the Lord of his life. The difference between, here's the thing, you can be saved, because I was saved, I grew up in church, was a Christian, but Jesus was never my Lord. And when you, yes, there is, and when you can make Jesus your Savior and your Lord, that is when transformation can happen. When you make Jesus your Savior and your Lord, there is breakthrough. Some of you guys are waiting for breakthrough to happen in your life, and can I tell you the truth, that it may not be happening right now because you haven't made him Lord of every area of your life. It's opening every room and saying, I know that this is messy right now, but Jesus, I want you in it. I know that this doesn't look good, but God, I think I want to show you every room. Jesus wants you to accept the invitation for him to come into all of your house. When I surrender to God, I let him have it all. So my third point is transformation. In Luke 19:7, if we can pull that up, Zacchaeus doesn't just let Jesus into the door. He gives him full access. And I love this because it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. When I got my life transformed finally and gave my life to Jesus, there were so many people at the time who had known that I was in school and not really given Jesus a good rap.
I was a kid that was cussing and bullying and out drinking and smoking, and no one wanted to know the Jesus that I talked about, even after I transformed my life. And I love this is because the people were mad. They're like, Jesus, why does he get transformation? He doesn't deserve it. And still, he went past the haters. I remember being called a drunk preacher, a hypocrite. I remember being called a heathen and a bad pastor's kid. Those were things spoken over my life. And I didn't get transformation, though, until I fully said, shut up, devil. And until I said, I know who I am, and I know who God is in me. Zacchaeus did not care. If you look at the scripture, the next verse, it says, look, Lord, here and now transformation can happen. In one moment, transformation can happen. It didn't need to take a year or 5 years, but it could happen here and now. Here and now. Transformation in my life happened here and it happened now. I wanted to share as I begin to close a story that happened in my life. Many of you are asking, okay, well, what's that moment you made Jesus your Lord? That moment was Party in the Desert of 2015. I had grown up in church. Like I said, I was a pastor's kid. Never really made Jesus Lord. I'd come to Party in the Desert High. Sorry. But I was just ready. I was ready for something new. I was at my wit's end. I wanted Jesus into all of my house. I just was so hurt and offended and bitter. I didn't really believe that the God that my parents talked about and my church talked about was good. I wanted something different, but I knew that I was made for a life of more. So I went to Party in the Desert. I made Jesus my Lord during one of Pastor Juergen's message, and he was talking about he's like, say you want the cross. But in order to say you want the cross, you have to lay things down to say that you want the cross. In order to pick something up, you put something down. Right? So I had to pick up my cross and I had to lay things down. After Party in the Desert, that moment, I got baptized on that Sunday. And I'm not going to lie, it wasn't my first time getting baptized, but it was the one that made the difference for me. So I got baptized. And I posted this post on Facebook. I'm a young adult. You know, that just happens. Everything goes on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter nowadays. So I posted this post on Facebook about how it transformed my life, how Jesus had done something in my world. And I remember my father commented. And this was such a big moment for me because my dad was just saying, like, he pretty much was like, he wrote on there, he says, I've been praying for this moment for the longest time, that you would learn to know Jesus the way that we see him, and that you would have an encounter with him, that you would fully say yes. And I get emotional thinking about it because, yes, my dad's awesome, but also because I believe that Jesus, that God is in heaven doing the same thing with us. Well, my dad was praying for me. I bet you there's nights where he was on the edge of his seat believing and praying that I would say fully yes to Jesus. And I couldn't help but God showed me this picture of him on the edge of his throne, just waiting. He's like, okay, I'm waiting for the yes. I'm waiting for the yes. I'm waiting for the yes. Just like a dad watching football on the edge of his seat, waiting for the touchdown. He was waiting to yell yes. And I believe it to be true that Jesus, he was on the edge of his seat waiting for me just as he is on the edge of the sea waiting for you to say yes to him today. He's on the edge of the seat waiting for you to say yes today. He was waiting on the edge of his seat for me when I wanted to end my life and I was cutting and I was depressed. He was on the edge of his seat for me when I disrespected his name and brought shame upon who the good God that I knew that he was deep down inside. He was waiting on the edge of his seat, the edge of his throne for me. When I was out drinking and smoking and living a life that I shouldn't have been, he was waiting on the edge of his seat for me. On the edge of his seat for me to say yes. On the edge of his seat waiting for me to give him full access. And I don't know your story. And I don't know where you've been. But I know one thing to be true, because it was true for me, is that Jesus is just waiting for you to say yes. He's waiting for you to give him full access. Full access, every room, every part of your heart, the stuff that's really messed up. Even though there's some of you in this room, your whole life meet together, and the only thing that's really a part is that you're still sleeping around, or the only really part of it is that you're drinking when nobody else knows about it, or you're doing these things, and all of it can seem good, but there's still areas that he's not made Lord. And he's just waiting for full access of your life. That's all he wants. And I want to give you an opportunity today to give Jesus the full access. So if you'd close your eyes tonight.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.